Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book I do the review and stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to and hopefully enjoy. Joining me today, like normal, is Juliana.
Hello everyone.
And today we are going back to the SFBRP must reads list.
Oh yeah.
We're finding candidates to add to it.
So possible candidates.
So back on episode 550, which was like 10 episodes ago. Yeah, this must be 560. We introduced the SFBRP must reads list, which is our like masterworks list. Our, you know, list of books.
The
which,
recommendations.
Yeah, it's like if you're getting into science fiction or you're into science fiction and you want a like a good amount of reading. Well, actually, let me just look it up here because I brought it up here as well. So what do we say? We say, which books are the best examples of science fiction? Available to read today? Which books are best for those wanting a deeper dive into science fiction? And which old books stand the test of time? And which new books will we still be thinking about in decades to come or for decades to come? So we put together, what is it, 52 books. So you can read one book a year, hopefully, and get through it. It's a, you know, weighted to old classics. We never found a book from the 1970s that we found wanted to go in there because the 70s are weird. 70s fiction is just a bit strange.
Yes.
Tricky. More women turn up in the second half of the list, let me put
surprise
it that way.
And, or maybe not really surprising.
Yeah, and then at the end of it, we're like, hey, we've reviewed most of the books recently enough or read them enough times to be sure of their place on the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast must reads list. However, we plan on rereading various other novels to see if they should be added to the list in the future.
Yeah.
And we've done a few of those, including the Frederick Pohl Gateway, Joe Haldeman, The Forever War, and Arkady and Boris Strugatsky, Roadside Picnic. Those are the books from the 1970s because we were like wanting a book.
Yep.
From the 1970s to add here. It comes down to The Roadside Picnic. Juliana, when she rereads that, she will make the final call if it's going on the SFBRP must reads list or not. Or if it's just sort of like, yeah, well, Solaris is on there, so and maybe we don't
maybe
need
that's
to,
enough.
Maybe don't need much more of that. Anyway, yeah. Also Suzanne Collins' The Hunger Games, I started rereading that and was like, oh no, that is super dated. Like everything that's been done in there has now been done like more better. Well, not even more better. It's sort of like, oh, it just feels really dated.
Yeah.
And also I wasn't quite sure about how much I enjoyed the book or how much I enjoyed the movie that I watched.
Yeah. You know, and how much you're just now not the target audience.
Yeah. So those are four books that I've tried again, reread.
Yeah.
And or in the terms of the Hunger Games, started rereading and going, oh no, I can't do this. But yeah, there's a few others that I'm going to get to again, including C.J. Cherry, Finity's End, which I've never reviewed on the SFBRP.
Yeah.
But I definitely want some C.J. Cherry on this list. So
yes.
I'm just sort of like, which book, which novel by C.J. Cherry is going to make it on there? Because at the moment, nothing. And she was like in the 90s and 2000s, she was definitely one of my favorite authors. So I reread Heavy Time.
Yes.
And then I was like, I want to read the next book in this series, which is called, I can't remember what the next book was, but it's not available as an ebook, not available as an audiobook. To buy it on Amazon was like 90 euros or something, whatever
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, like if they're out of print or like not just not very available, then they become expensive.
Yeah. So some of those, but I know Finity's End, that's probably one of the best in the series. So I will get to that. But I was just wanting to like do some C.J. Cherry rereading.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'll go to the English bookshop, the Another Country bookshop in Berlin,
yeah,
which is a fantastic place. They've got the fantasy cellar where you can go down and there's just an entire cellar full of science fiction and fantasy books, a big collection there.
Yeah. And you've been previously in the past, you've used that a lot.
Oh yeah, because I used to live just around the corner from it.
Yeah.
And it was a big part, actually. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to start that bookshop existed, was one of the reasons why I wanted to start the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast, mainly because I kept on picking up the same books again. I'm like, wait, I've already read this Alistair Reynolds, I need a way to keep track of what I'm reading.
Yeah.
And part of that was the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. It was there to help me keep track. This is because this was like in 2006, 2007, 2008.
Yes.
Before Goodreads was a thing and these other, and I didn't just want to keep a list. I wanted to like be able to go back and hear my thoughts about different books.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good way of keeping a record of it.
So Finity's End, either Down Below Sedation or Finity's End is one of the books which was the last book that I read before I started the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast.
Okay.
Which I could probably go back through my notes and work out which one it is.
Yeah.
But when I reread Down Below Station, I'm like, no, this wasn't that book.
That wasn't it.
This isn't the one I'm thinking of. Anyway, so I went back to the Another Country book. Because I don't live in Berlin. I don't live 300 meters away from the bookshop anymore. No. So I went back there and I was like, oh, let's find the next book in this series, which is like Heavy Time. And the next one is, I don't know. It's the one they're out at war. There's spaceships and stuff. I can't remember what the name of this.
Just look it up.
No, I can't.
You have it right there.
I can't type. Heavy Time. The next book is in the Company Wars is Pilot Paul Decker. So it's the continuing adventures of Pilot Paul Decker. So I went to look for the book Hellburner.
Yes.
And I didn't find Hellburner.
Okay.
I found Heavy Time again.
Yeah.
But I didn't find Hellburner, but I did find Neverness by David Zindel, and that is the next book on the SFBRP must reads consideration list.
Okay, that's handy. So didn't
David
find
Zindel and
one,
Neverness.
But
I was like, oh, okay. I'll get this book, and I also realized that the last time I read that book was that very copy of the book in the bookshop, because the way the bookshop works is that it's like a paid borrowing service. So you buy the book, you give the €5, and then when you bring it back, you get €3 back, or you know, whatever it was back in the day. It was like €1. So it was like €1.50 if you bring the book back. They look at the sticker in the front or the paper.
It's
in the
color coded. Yeah,
color coded in the front. And so I'm like, all right, yeah, that's it. So I paid €20 for Neverness,
right,
by David Zindel, knowing that when I take it back, I'm going to get like €18 back or whatever it's going to be. So
yeah,
it's like
nice.
€20. Of course, I now look on Amazon, you can get it for €5 as an ebook.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, I might have read it a bit quicker if it was an ebook rather than a massive paper book.
It's huge.
It's a huge book. So I was like, and also, like I say, it's the same book. I've read not just the book before, not just the text of the book. I've read literally this copy of this book before.
Yeah.
But I read it in like 2005, 2006, 2007. In that
also
time.
Also before the SFBRP.
Yeah, before the SFBRP. But when I lived in Berlin and lived just like, you know, three corners, because I used to live on Gneisenaustrasse and then moved to Meringen, you know, the kind of area. So I was very close to this place. So yes, this was one of the books that I'd read before. And that time was the second time I'd read it. I'd also read it once before, like in the 90s.
Okay.
The book
when did it come out?
The book came out in 1988. The copyright in the front of the book says it came out in, oh yeah, first published 1988. So 1998.
Yeah.
Neverness, David Zindel, even says the science fiction masterwork. So maybe that's why it's in my head when I'm like, what are the SFPRP masterworks? This literally says it's a masterwork on the front of it.
Yeah.
And this is a book that I've mentioned many times before on the SFBIP, generally when considering or when talking about what one of my favorite books is, like one of my favorite science fiction books is. And so I've made notes in the past. So I went back through these notes because I'm a digital hoarder and I have every note from
that's
from
actually
every text document
good description.
All the way going back to like 2003, the last time a computer, when I lost a hard drive in 2003. Since then, I've never lost a single file. I've deleted stuff, you know, it's not like I never delete anything for space or anything. But so, excuse me, I need to just cough here. So, this is a note that I wrote in episode number 41. Someone sent me an email asking for my 5 all-time favorite science fiction novels. That's a hard thing for me to do, but I gave it a go. This is one top 5 list, but not in any order, and it will change all the time. The person who asked for it was wanting to get into science fiction, so I think each book shows a different stage or style of what science fiction can be. So there's me back on episode 41, which is
already
like 2009.
Talking about this kind of topic.
Yeah, this kind of topic. Mm. So I put the H.G. Wells' The War of the World.
Yeah, still on it.
Ian M. Banks, Player of Games.
Yeah.
Verna Vinge, Fire Upon the Deep. Mm-hmm. All of these books are right here on the SFBRP must-reads
list. Still on the
list,
yeah.
Robert A. Heinlein, Have Spacesuit, Will Travel, which I might, I should probably put that on the consideration list considering it was one of my, it's on the consideration list considering, the reason I'm considering it is because it is a fantastic, but a really fun book. And I think there's a lot in there, even though there is a bit at the end where you're like, oh, Heinlein, do you have to,
Is that a 70s book?
No, it's like 50s.
Oh,
50s
right.
Book.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on this is David Zindel, Neverness, epic sci-fi, especially if you include The following trilogy, not for new science fiction readers, though. And, well, it really isn't for new science fiction. In episode 68, I mentioned it when I was reviewing The Left Hand of Darkness for the first time.
Okay.
I was like, if you want some stuff, if you think this is cold, you know, in The Left Hand of Darkness, where they have like, and now let's trek across the ice. It's sort of like, if you also want science fiction where there's lots of coldness, go to Neverness by David Zindel. Episode 84, in The Prince of Nothing, I said, if you like this but sci-fi, Neverness series, Requiem for the Homo Sapiens by David Zindel, which is like the following trilogy.
Yeah.
And then on episode 200, we did a top fives list.
Mm.
And in the top five series of ours was included Neverness by David Zindel. Says, not a better book than Dune, but the four books together stay higher quality than the Dune series.
Right.
It's
yes.
like Dune, but on an icy world, not a desert world. And I was like, and there's twice now that I've said, if you include the trilogy, like the following trilogy, and not for new, like, and it's in my top list of trilogies. And I read that.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking through these notes.
Yeah.
Like, an hour ago, like, when you said, hey, let's record a podcast. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go and do some, like, look up some notes and research in the past. And I was like, this is a trilogy. I mean, it says here, Neverness, a Requiem for Homo Sapiens Zero, you know.
Yeah.
So what's book
There's
number
something
one?
To follow.
So I knew that was something to follow. And I was like, well, I'm definitely not going to read the follow-up books of this. Like, why would I ever, like, read the follow-up to a book which I enjoyed? And then, like, don't, like, if you enjoy Dune Messiah, do not go into Children of Dune. And then Chapter House, like, you know, the quality often falls off pretty quickly there.
Okay.
Of later books in a trilogy or a series.
But it seems like your past you had... positive.
Yeah. So I went over here and I looked up the Goodreads, a Requiem for Homo Sapiens series.
Yeah.
And it says, into the icy maze of the city of Neverness, a wild boy stumbles, spear in hand, starving, frostbitten, and grieving. Danlo the Wild. And I'm like, oh, that!
Like, so what's it called? Danlo the Wild?
No, it's called The Broken God, then The Wild, and then War in Heaven. And it's like a trilogy.
And you've read all of them.
I've read all of them.
Yeah.
But again, in the 1990s.
Yes.
Partway, 200 episodes into the SFBRP, I was considering this one of my top five series of all time, top five science fiction series or trilogies of all time.
Yeah.
By episode 560, I forgot this trilogy existed at all and that I'd ever read it.
Oops.
I'm just saying.
Is that a sign for anything?
No, it's just like I'm just a different person than I was in 2008 or 7 or whenever because I've not read the series since the 90s.
Yeah.
Or like... when did this book come out? 1998. So I probably read this book when these books were being published.
Yes.
Maybe not when they were being published, but like...
close
but
around
like
the
95
time.
To 98, that is totally in a time when as these books are being published, they arrive in a library or they arrive in Waterstones or they arrive on like, you know, whatever. You know, it's not like books that you're picking up from the secondhand shop like in Berlin anymore.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of like, ooh, a book from 30 years ago. Like, it's not like that, you know.
Yeah.
It's not, they're not 30-year-old books that you find in charity. Shops.
And also in the 1990s,
It
was normal to just go to the library and to the bookshops and just buy the books because there was nothing else around.
Yeah, you borrow the books and you buy the books. There was no ebooks, there's no audiobooks, there's no like internet access to a massive back catalogue.
Nope.
So when the next book in the series comes out,
you're like, yes, of course.
I'm going to read the continuing adventures of Danlo the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
And again, completely, but that's like loads of books. Like I also read all of the following Dune books.
Yeah.
The House Carino, House Atreides, House Harkonnen books.
Mm.
The other books, which are like the Somethings of Dune. I read like six
whatever
different...
was available, I guess.
Yeah. not Frank Herbert. I read six Brian Herbert Dune novels just because those were the books that were out in like the early 2000s and that you just get to and read.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm not going to go into the trilogy. But again, like these trilogies go, like this first book, Neverness, 4.05 stars generally on Goodreads. So like highly rated. And then they just keep going up. 4.24 for the next one, 4.32, 4.30. So these books stay either consistently highly rated, or the people who stick with it just want more
Survivor
of the story.
Bias. And
it's the selection self-selection bias, isn't it? As well. But then look at this graph of how this is rated.
Oh yeah.
Like 44% of people who read Neverness give it 5 stars.
Yeah.
So like this is like literally 70%, more than 75, like 75% of people who read this book give it between like 4 and 5 stars. Yeah.
But so, then of course, like if you look at this book and you see that like it's a chunky book,
yeah,
for like it feels like the people who got through it,
yeah,
really enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get through it because they enjoy it. And then rate it highly,
yeah,
because they enjoy it.
I didn't. I read like 2 other people's reviews, mm-hmm, of it. So I haven't gone through and read other people's reviews.
Yeah.
But yes, it's highly regarded. And that's with, 1,693 ratings. It's got a 4.05 stars, which is like a lot higher than a lot of these other books. Quite a few of these other books on the SFBRP must read list are rated lower than that.
Yeah.
This is rated pretty highly. I was like just comparing it to some others as well. You know, it's rated higher than Solaris, The Man in the High Castle, Starship Troopers, and about the same as I Am Legend and Dune. You know, it's that kind of, it's rated by readers as that. So anyway, yeah. The thing that I say at the start of, or we mentioned on the SFBRP must read list, it has to be a science fiction, a novel, it has to be reviewed and highly rated on the SFBRP, able to hold up to modern reading standards, if not political/social standards. Mm-hmm. It can't be obsoleted by more recent novels tackling the same challenges, and it has to be an important book, so it's award-winning or on other masterworks list. It's got masterwork written on the front cover, but yeah. But also it wasn't award-winning, but it was nominated for the Locus Award for Best Science Fiction Novel and the Arthur C. Clarke Award a nominee as well. So, you know, at the time it came out, it was a known book that was getting at least a few nominations,
yeah,
and things like that. So that's all to say that I forgot how, you know, that there was a series.
Yeah.
But also it kind of backs up why in the early 2000s and mid 2000s I considered this one of my 5 all-time favorite science fiction books, with the caveats that I said that list will change in the future, and
yes,
it's sort of like one thing which could go along with, say, something like by Verna Vinge, and I put this on the list rather than Dune, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
That kind of thing. So so let's get into it. This,
yeah,
is a book, and talking about parallels to Dune, which again I noticed in other people's those other reviews, people say, oh yeah, if you like Dune you'll like this. It's not doing the same thing.
So no big politics, and
no, it's all big politics.
Well, it's a different style, in an icy place.
Okay, one of the main things that you got to work out is this definitely feels like someone, David Zindel, is like, I want to write an epic book. Now, this can go really badly sometimes.
Yeah.
But what I think is great about this is that it is someone saying, I want to write an epic story.
Mm-hmm.
And this, just to skip to the end of my review, this is why I'm going to give this book like 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but what it is doing, it's like self-consciously going, I want to write an epic science fiction book,
mm-hmm,
where in one novel, like what Dune does in like 6 novels,
right,
like that whole series, I'm going to do in one novel.
Okay, and it sounds like it's then not completely failing at that.
And no, and it doesn't fail at it. And that's the impressive thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't fail at being a novel which is self-consciously saying, this is going to be the most epic story that you've ever read.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in one novel.
And that's quite a feat to do.
Like, it is
that's
a feat to do. It is literally someone saying,
an achievement,
right, there. Tolkien did The Lord of the Rings and it was split up into 3 novels. Can I tell a story which is as big as that? Again, it's got nothing to do with Lord of the Rings, or even, yeah, it's not even got that much to do with Dune. I'm just saying that, like, I don't know, like, I haven't had a reading experience like this recently. I guess The Salvation Trilogy by Peter F. Hamilton.
Yes. Okay.
Or the other books by Peter F. Hamilton, like,
yeah,
these series. He's like going with Pandora's Star, like,
yeah,
right, I'm going to go get back to the beginning of evolution and tell in a massive adventure story, and stuff that happens at the end is going to pay off
big
the stuff
universe
that happens.
Big,
you know, and he's, yeah, doing that over like, you know, book, like 2 books, 3 book series. But also the way that he makes it so epic is that he's skipping around lots of different points of view.
Mm-hmm.
So he can get over there and do something over there and then back over here and do something here. And you can see the entire galaxy or like big parts of the galaxy and go on big adventures off into, you know, like the Void trilogy is even more so like that. And just to be clear, the Void trilogy feels like Peter F. Hamilton is like, all right, Neverness, let me do my version of Neverness. Not quite, but there is also there's the Void and this is the Vild, like an expanding sphere of stars which are going supernova and encompassing like a big section of the galaxy.
Okay.
Like this is one of those books where you go, ah, right, I see what you're doing, but like Peter F. Hamilton has done this more recently in a clever way. And you're going, oh, Alistair Reynolds did this. Again, I'm not going to give away which books are doing which, but he's also like, ah, what Alistair Reynolds is doing here, he's also, again, I'm not saying he's taken it from Neverness, but when you go back and read Neverness, you're like, ah, right, this is another source for these British science fiction authors who are doing like this big, like galaxy spanning, like deep into the future science fiction.
Yeah, influence and inspiration.
Yeah, epic, epic science fiction, like just, what am I trying to say? Yeah, just like that, you know, space opera on an epic scale.
Mm.
This is a book which in one book is doing what an entire Peter F. Hamilton or Alistair Reynolds novel is doing.
Trilogy.
Like one of their trilogies or series. Yeah. What he's doing here is like speedrunning one of those.
Okay.
Which again, it doesn't mean that it 100% works, and there are reasons not to like it. And that sometimes the philosophy and the plotting and like just the plot and it doesn't all isn't completely coherent in a way which I think these other authors who are like plotting things out a bit more slowly and taking their time with it, you know, you can thematically, you can tie more together. But I think one of the interesting decisions about what David Zindel has done here, he's like, can I do one of these entire series from one point of view, from a single character's point of view?
Okay, well, that is challenging.
It is, and this is the big challenge, which I would say works mostly. But it does mean you're spending the entire novel in the first person point of view of our main character, Mallory Ringus, and he is not the easiest person to get on with, and he does become like the vessel of all story and all fate, and you know, but in the same way that these novels, like again, just going back to like the Knight's Dawn trilogy, you get all this different kind of stuff, but then it's Captain Calvert, what is his name, something Calvert, who has the penis adventures, and then he gets up to the point where the aliens entrust him with the powers to solve the, you know, like that kind of stuff. But there's lots, you're spending lots of time with other people, so his story, like Joshua Calvert's story, is kind of spread out through other people's viewpoints.
Oh, right.
But now just imagine we've got one guy who is Joshua Calvert and every single other person in the Knight's Dawn trilogy. He has to be there for every big thing that happens. And like he has to be the vessel. So also like Dune. Okay. So in Dune, Paul Atreides becomes the vessel of like, he is the focal point of the entire series, of the entire thing. So he's the guy who we get his coming of age story, but also he rises up to godhood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we also get point of view characters. Like we spread around. It's not him doing every single thing all the way through the books, all the way through the trilogy or the series or whatever it is. Whereas in this, Mallory Ringus is the guy who takes on the, you know, the epic responsibility and gets the skills. And you know, in this, I guess, is one of the reasons why people compare it to Dune. It's not like, oh, it's the same kind of story, but it's set on an icy planet rather than a desert planet. It's more like one person becomes the focal point for all of the politics and gets laid upon him like all of the skills. You know, we were mentioning this before in the difference between the movie Dune and the book is that in the book he's sort of like, right, Paul Atreides is an Atreides. It turns out he's also a Harkonnen because mm-hmm. his grandfather's a Harkonnen. Mm-hmm. He's also a Bene Gesserit. Mm-hmm. He's like he's got the fighting skills of Duncan Idaho and Gurney Halleck.
Yeah.
He also becomes like a reverend mother. He gets the skills of the Fremen. He can ride, you know, ride it. He knows all this, that kind of stuff. And after all of that, he's also a Mentat. And in the book and in the movie, they're like, if he's a Mentat, that's going to be like really, really, really tricky, you know? Yeah. And so this is a similar kind of thing that happens to Mallory Ringus. It's sort of like, as you go through, like all of these other elements in the books, all these other political factions, all these other kind of science, all these other kind of like, these people look into the future. These people look into the past. These people can slow down time to do mathematics, you know, in the same way that the Dune, like they have pilots in Dune and they're like, they take all the drugs and they slow down time, or they can see into the, like slightly into the future with the whatever the spice kind of thing. Like in Dune, Paul Atreides, like by the end of the book, he sort of like earned all of those and becomes like this, you know, godhead figurehead, you know, tyrant kind of guy.
Yeah.
And in, again, slight spoilers, but in Nevinus, the same thing happens to Mallory Ringus. It's sort of like he takes on, like he gets these skills from there and gets rebuilt by aliens there and gets this knowledge from here, you know. And so by the end, he is a little bit of a like an all conquering Superman Ubermensch guy who can lead humanity, save humanity, do whatever he needs to do by the end of it.
Right.
That is, of course, the point of a book that like this.
Like an epic.
It's an epic that like one person is going to be like, all right, they're going to be the hero. And how are they going to be the hero? By being very annoying for a long time, but slowly earning the right and earning the, like building their character so they can be trusted with this kind of stuff.
But this is about building a character, though. This is not like, it's weird to come back to Dune in this respect, but like, I think that in Dune you have a lot of he inherited lots of things. Like he didn't do any character development to get there. It was already in his genes
Thing. Paul Atreides is a pawn of the Bene Gesserit and of the Emperor. And, you know, the Atreides is a pawn of the Emperor. And then the Emperor is so he is like, he becomes like the tip of the spear or whatever they say, the point of the knife. But yeah, Mallory Ringus, he has a little bit more agency than Paul Atreides.
Okay.
But you know, there is no prophecy. In Paul Atreides, it's all about, you know, Paul and Mor Deeb, you know, it's all prophecies, and this is all the groundwork. And that isn't in this case. So, but what this is, and there's a lot of other things which are kind of Dune-like as well, that like Earth isn't a concern anymore. Earth's been destroyed or whatever. And then this is like 30,000 years into the future. Right. Again, pilots are a special kind of people. You need pilots to get between places. Mm-hmm. Technology is restricted in many ways. Like nobody has computers because there's also been like AI uprisings, you know, like the Butlerian Jihad that they had to do, and now like, computers aren't allowed. Of course, there are computers, but that's sort of like, okay, the people over there have the computers.
Yeah.
And they have to, so not everybody can be trusted with this.
Yeah.
And you do have AI stuff in the world and singularity. Well, not singularity. What do you mean? Like, you know, all these different kind of stuff. But yes, so that it's in deep history, you need special pilots. And Mallory Ringus is one of these pilots. He's been training to be a pilot, which means he is an adventurer, but also a mathematician.
Mm-hmm.
And really, his name is... But really what he is, he's a Knight of the Round Table, is what it is.
Okay.
Because he goes on quests. He goes like on a Grail quest and things. His name is Mallory. And so I must think this must be this Le Mort d'Arthur by, Thomas Mallory? So this is very...
This is a literary nod.
Nod to, all right, so we've got this, you know, it's not really a round table, but we've got this like this cohort of knights.
Mm-hmm.
And what is this person going to go, you know, this person is going to go out, they're going to go on a quest. And that's really what happens at the start of the book. You know, he becomes, he graduates to become a pilot. And then it's sort of like, and now go out into the whatever and find the Holy Grail or whatever. You know, it's that kind, definitely that kind of thing. And so the different sections of the book, there's probably like 5, 6, 7 different sections. So it is episodic. So it starts off, we get to know Nevinus. It's a city. Because there's like different mappings that they can do between stars, this is the one with the most mappings. It's like with the most, not wormhole entrances, but you know, it's done quite a bit, like, you know, in science fiction, which is the planet that becomes the Nexus. It's not because it's the best
the
planet.
Handy point.
Yeah, it's because it's the focal point of lots of stuff. So we get the icy planet and people ice skating through the streets. He becomes a pilot. Then he goes out to go to the Vild, you know, out to the to this sphere which is of stars which is exploding, and trying to work out why all these stars are exploding, and this wavefront of supernovas is going to come forward and encompass where we are now. They've only got like 100 years.
Ooh.
And the city where they are now, all the radiation is going to blast through from this from these supernovas, this area.
Okay.
So anyway, goes out, meets the solid state entity, which is a big computer mind, which is again very impressive stuff. Then gets back, and then they do the out onto the ice, you know, the cold bit that I was saying.
Yeah.
So go out onto the ice and to try and find some DNA of some, you know, some Neanderthal type of people who live there. So changes his body to be a more Neanderthal, and then goes out into the ice with his family members and things. And it's rough. This is a rough part, but it kind of does that, you know, like I say, the section of the book where people are put through hardships.
Yes.
It's the book that you're reading now. It's not quite, but like you put a small group of characters through hardships,
mm-hmm.
and the people have to grow. They have to grow up. There's no way to survive all this.
Otherwise,
kind of
the book just ends.
But then, as well, as I was reading this, I was like, there's shades of The Sparrow here as well. In the like, not in the everyone's happy and meeting, but in the horror. You know that, you know, at the end of the Sparrow, where it suddenly go, oh, this is actually quite horrific.
Yes.
Shade, like, it again, it's one of those things where, like, again, The Sparrow is done after this book,
right?
But The Sparrow is like a whole book based on what David Zindel is doing just in this like middle section of this book. Like, you know, there's a quarter of this book that you read, and you go, wow, that quarter of this book The Sparrow is a separate standalone masterwork. Like, I don't want to say it's doing it better. I'm just saying he's going for something here, which is, you know,
a glimpse into that,
which is like again, and then they go back, and then more trips into space, and then more alien stuff, and then back out onto the ice. You know, it carries on. Again, I don't want to get into any spoiler territory because this is the first time I've talked about this book. This is our first review of this book, but it's an epic story, but it is episodic in, again, and now we'll follow this knight off, and they're going to meet a green giant or whatever it is, and now this person's going to go to France, and these people are going to, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
So. And then I realized as I was right at the end of the book, I'm like, oh, this character. And then I was like, the trilogy follows the character who's mentioned on the last three pages of this previous book.
So it's a handover, to the next book.
Yes. So this book is Neverness by David Zindel.
How big is it actually? Do you have some numbers?
Well, it's this big. don't know what to say.
It's a big book that Luke reads it and falls asleep, it makes a loud thunk on his chest.
Okay, so now let's review the reading experience of reading a paper book. I read this Heavy Time book. It was a hardcover.
Yes.
Which is actually easier to read. And I was like, I can just lay it flat when I was on the plane. I was I can just lean my head forward, lay the book flat, and I can read the book. Turns out this is a chunky book, but this is like the paperback printing.
Yeah.
You know, from like a year later.
Yeah, it's quite a tall book. Tall.
This edition
and
from
thick.
And it's just big and chunky, and there's just a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I started reading this before Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and you bought me as a stocking filler for Christmas a lamp, like an LED lamp that you can clip to the end of your book, and then it goes over the front, and so I could read it in bed. But I just gave up reading. Like, I got like 2/3 of the way through this book, and then it just sat there because I was just reading other stuff.
Yeah.
And I read The Alien Clay by Adrian Tchaikovsky, and now that's what you're reading as well.
Yes.
And I read two other nonfiction books, and then I started another audiobook, and this book was sitting there going, calling me. And then just a few days ago, I'm like, look, I've been really enjoying this book. There's no reason I'm not picking it up, except that it's just a faff to pick up a paper book. And that's, in a way, I wish I'd have just bought the Kindle ebook. So this is...
I wanted number, like you said, it's...
444 pages.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
And on on Goodreads it says 552 pages. I guess that's for the that's for the mass market paperback. So yeah. When you actually reduce the size of it, it gets chunkier,
yeah. Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
There's and the front cover is like this, you know, looking at an icy mountain.
Yeah.
So yes, it is a good book. It is a very 1980s book. It's definitely a Cold War era book.
Right.
It's talking about atomics, but again, same as in Dune. Mm. You know, at the end of the book, what happens? They set off an atomic bomb. What happens at the end of this book? Well, spoiler, there's an atomic bomb goes off.
Mm.
That's all I'll mention. So it's a book which is going, right, Dune, but 1980s, and cold instead of desert, but let's just go epic.
Yeah.
And that is very fun to read, even now. Things that aren't good about it, like I say, it is slightly incoherent. It doesn't seem to have a clear political message. It feels like it's just going for epicness,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. Again, I don't need anything political in it, but I'm just saying, like, thematically, it's much more about, like, I'm just putting everything in there.
Right.
So at the end, you're like, the tension should be ramping up, and you're sort of like, I'm going to talk about mathematics for like 8 pages. Are you ready? Let's go. No, but it works.
Okay.
It works because by that time you're bought into it.
Yeah, you're hardwired into it. Okay, I understand that. All right, let's give me more of that.
Yeah, other thing, but then there are other things where I'm like, okay, we're fine. It's like very, it's kind of male, if you know what I mean. Mm. Like you go, right, there's lots of women characters, but does this pass the Bechdel test? But it's one of those tricky things because it's all told from the point of view of one guy. There aren't any viewpoint characters which aren't the main guy.
Yeah.
So he's always there for every single conversation between two women. It's his point of view. So
yeah.
Bechdel test, but also just sort of like, yes, it is male. Other things that, but again, Dune is very much the same as like the similar kind of thing as this. That's not to say there aren't women characters. Yeah, like there's women. It's not like Dune where like the women are only Bene Gesserits. You know, there's nobody else who isn't like a Reverend Mother or a Bene Gesserit kind of thing, except like there's a princess and that, you know, the women are for love interest, babies, or they are priestesses, and or, you know, like a, what is it, the Shoutout Mapes, who is the like a housewife, she looks after the house, you know.
Yeah.
She's a servant,
housekeeper,
and the men get to be warriors and whatever, and which again, they updated that a bit more in the movie where the women get to be warriors
there's a bit more uprising of the women.
a little bit more quality there. And Liet Keynes is a woman in the movie instead of just another guy, whereas in this one there are plenty of women who are important as well. But again, it still defaults to, if there's an important character, it's probably going to be male.
Yeah.
Unless there's a reason for it to be women rather than be separated out. And then, yeah, and also, like Dune, you know, it gets serious when they bring in incest. Sort of like in Dune, it's sort of like, well, we're going to have to, well, if this doesn't work out, we'll have to pair him with this. But they're like, oh, but they're, you know, they don't know that they're secret brothers and sisters. Because again, they're in Dune, it's sort of like, you don't know who your parents are. Or you don't know who your grandparents, you know who your parents are, but you don't know who your grandparents are, because the Bene Gesserit are like swapping people round.
Yes.
And getting seed from here and passing, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So of course that happens in this, like, well, who is the person's father and who is the person's, you know, daughter, and how related are they, and things like that. And you're like, okay, well, yeah, okay, cousins, whatever. Okay, if you want to do that.
Okay.
I do, but the same thing happens in this. What was that you were just watching, that BBC thing?
Oh, yeah. Sanditon.
Sanditon. I was going to say Surbiton. That's a different place. Sanditon, you know, as well in there.
Last Jane Eyre.
The last Jane Eyre book.
Jane,
it's the last Emily Bronte book.
Jane Austen.
Yes, the last Jane Austen.
Manuscript.
Unfinished Jane Austen book. But again, it's sort of like, oh, this is, you know, once you get into high enough society, sort of like, yeah, all royalty, they all end up with each other's second cousins or whatever. So, so again, just, it is dated. However, there was nothing in the book apart from like Mallory Ringer's being a bit of a dick, and some of the side characters being, Like, you read them and you're like, ah, this is meant to be a fun side character, but really they're just a drunkard womanizer character.
Right.
Which is, it can be funny, but also you're looking at it and going, yes, these days, these days, if this character turned up in a book, they would be very problematic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And here it's being played for laughs, you know, like the fat roly-poly guy, sort of like, ah, yes, of course, this is 1980s, so fat shaming and alcoholism as comedy.
Funny,
is just part of it. But again, this is the same in everything as well.
Yeah.
Even you look at Dune, you're sort of like, oh yes, the evil people are the ugly fat people, and the good people are the strong jawed upright white people.
So bad.
It's not bad. It's just that is what fiction is from the 20th century. These days, if you read the book again, this book would now, there would be representation, you know.
Yeah.
The politics could be just as weird or problematic, but there'd be representation, so it would be fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They would put in
more women, more non-white people. Of course, the race stuff in this book is far future, so it's all, there's just a mix, there's a hodgepodge anyway, so that's not a thing. Yeah, and you'd put in some like non-binary characters, some trans characters, and it would be the same book with the same confused politics, but there'd just be representation. So from the 1980s, you get the same kind of books, just as epic, more epic, more just as interesting, but just not with the right representation and not with 2024 politics or identity politics anyway.
So that's
my review of the book.
Okay.
4.5 stars.
Okay, so you recommend me to read it?
It is long.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's going on to the SFBRP Masterworks list. No, on the, sorry, must reads list. It's the Golan's Masterworks list. This is going on the SFBRP must reads list. Again, it's not a must read for everyone. It is a big book. It's not for people. It should be nobody's first science fiction book.
Yeah.
But if you read this
book. Don't start here.
But if you read this book and then you're like, This is playing in the same space as Dune and these other epic science fiction books, and feels like it's influential to later epic science fiction space opera series, or other people have done the same kind of thing, different or better since.
Yeah.
But I think it does hold up. It's very 80s, but also it's very fun. And part of it, I'm giving a high rating because it was another nostalgia read for me, because I read this book in the 1990s and the series, read it again in 2007, and now I'm reading it again in 2024. And it's fun to return to a book this way. And that's part of my enjoyment, is going, oh yeah, I remember this bit. Oh yeah, this bit's coming up. And then I get to the end of the book, I was like, I don't remember any of this bit.
Should I read it in the summer? And not while it's snowing and -8
it
in
is,
the night.
It's we are in Nevernous territory here with the snow at the time. No, I mean, you can read it anytime. It's just a fun book.
Are we going to keep the paper book or should I read it as an e-book?
I want to return this so other people can do it. It can read it, you know. There's no reason that I should be the only person to be able to read this version. This might be the only copy of this book in Berlin. So that's available. So I'm going to be returning this back.
Okay, I'll have a look at the library.
I'll get some of my 20... Oh, do you mean I want to return it at some point. But if you want to keep this book and try reading this massive book rather than just having a nice reading experience by paying €5 and getting the Kindle ebook version, I would say just pay the money and get the Kindle ebook version.
Okay, I will. Maybe it's on the library. Maybe I can borrow it from the library.
I almost guarantee it will never be in a library app in Germany. No, because it's not being reprinted. I mean, there's a Kindle book version.
Yeah.
Here, there's a Kindle book, there's a paper book, hardcover, mass market paperback, but there is no, I would be very surprised if this is being published now. Like I'd be surprised if it's still in print.
Okay.
I think the way that it's in print now is by the Kindle ebook version here.
Yeah, I'll have a look. I'll check everything out.
It's
on offer right now.
No, it isn't. It's saying the print list price. So if you get it in print, it's saying if you wanted to buy this book as a paper book, the cheapest you can get it is for $23, which obviously means that it's not in print anymore, and these are all secondhand copies.
Okay. I thought I'd see like $5.99 and a red number next to it.
Yes, it's saying The print list price.
Okay.
It's saying if you want to get this in print, it's going to cost you €23. $23, but you can buy it now for $5.29 on as a Kindle ebook. So it's promoting this as the best deal.
Yes.
And look, you can buy all three following books Kindle price for
As a bundle.
Yeah, as a bundle for $15.90, or you can get all four for $20, which is the same. Yeah, it's pretty much €5. It doesn't matter. It's €5 per book is what $5 per book is what it's saying here. Yeah. Any other questions? Oh, let me have a look at some other people's reviews. Are we on Goodreads? I think only two people are the people. Tudor has rated it. He rated it 4 stars. This book is everything that Ridley Scott's Prometheus wanted to be. Again, Prometheus is a movie by someone saying, I'm going to do epic science fiction. And he does. He fails at. That's Ridley Scott failing at epic science fiction.
Yeah.
An excellent blend of almost every science fictional subgenre out there. Space opera, horror, post-singularity and superhuman, apocalyptic fiction, military and anthropological science fiction, and even a little bit of post-cyberpunk and time travel. I wouldn't say there's time travel, but there is some timey-wimey stuff going on here.
Okay.
He says, unfortunately, in 1998... What are you looking up there? In 1998, Neverness was probably too much, and now, after all its themes were overused in the last 25 years, its newness and shine have disappeared a little. Still, Neverness remains a formidable achievement. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
Sort of what you're looking at, what I'm praising is just one person going, fuck it, what if I just do epic?
Yeah. And they also achieve at the time when he did it and when that came out and you read it for the first time.
Yeah, in the 90s.
Yes. You got all this in this one book. As the reader of the first time, like you got this in this book at the time, and like so the chronology
of my reading experience
of your reading experience at that point really worked out together there.
Yeah, and here is a 3-star review by Estelle again. The good, a great world building, some compelling and original ideas, a good introduction to a hopefully epic story. Definitely makes me want to read The Broken God soon, which like. She's reviewing as though it's setting up for the next books, which I read it completely ignoring the fact that it might be a series. The bad, an unlikable hero. The other characters aren't great either. At times repetitive and could have used some editing. For something so often compared to Dune, it's nowhere as near as brilliant or as deep. I also agree. In many ways, it's more enjoyable than Dune.
Yeah.
There's more going on.
Yeah.
But it isn't as coherent as Dune.
Okay.
And I think, or as deep as Dune can be.
Yeah.
But again, that's just talking about the first book because I haven't reread following books in this as well. Overall, it's an interesting read and I'm looking forward to digging into the next book, although I'll try to lower my expectations, but I had real issues with the pacing and the uneven quality of the writing and storytelling. Yeah, I honestly do think that the pacing could be better. Part of me getting over that is just like pausing reading in between some of these things.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes. So that's good. And then I read like two other reviews and other people saying, oh yeah, it's compare it favorably to Dune and La Mort d'Arthur. But they're also saying, I never even heard of this book. And then I got into it and he says, and now even though I've read something like 2,500 science fiction novels, he says, I've come right out and say it. I'm putting this book in my top 20 novels of all time.
Oh,
so again, this is someone who read it in 2020 and is saying they were skeptical going into it, but it could be one of their top 20 science fiction novels of all time. For me, I don't think it is, but I think it could be. It's definitely in the ranks of science fiction must read books.
Of 55 books, it can be part of
this. This can definitely be the 53rd book in a 52 book list of books.
Okay.
I think now I've got other favorites, more favorite science fiction books, but that again, going back to that episode 40 or whenever I first mentioned this, that list will be changing all the time. And the reason why I'm doing the SFB Supreme Must Reads is that I don't have to now narrow it down to 5 books.
Yeah.
I can just say, look at any one of these 53 books. So I will update the SFBRP Masterworks list and add this book to it. Right. We've gone like 50
Sounds
minutes,
good.
48 minutes on the podcast. Anything else that you want to say?
I just looked at the library book for David Zindel. First, Neverness doesn't come up.
Oh, of course not.
Then David Zindel. Apparently, there's the third book in this series.
The third, like the, what is it? The War in Heaven book. What's it?
War in Heaven, yeah.
Yeah. So War in Heaven is in the library in English.
Yeah.
It's in the German, it's in the Berlin Library.
Maybe. Oh, it says notify me.
Oh, so it isn't, but they know it exists.
Yes.
That's the thing. They know it exists.
They know it exists. And it's just, it's some of them are like mentioned, but you need to notify them. And maybe then they get like the
rights for it.
Yeah.
Whatever. Either way, I would have been very surprised if the Berlin library system.
It's a huge library.
I know, but also this book is an obscure book from 1988.
Yes, that's true.
Even though it was award nominated, it hasn't. Again, it's one of those things that does it stand the test of time? I think it's an interesting enough book from the 1980s.
Yeah.
That it can. Let me have a look at the must read list and I'll see what are the other books from 1980s. So Startide Rising, The Wild Shore by Kim Stanley Robinson, Ender's Game, Player of Games, and Hyperion.
Hmm.
I would say, this is a book which goes very well. Like, it again, Hyperion is another book where I'm doing epic, you know, and so
an episodical,
a bit episodic and self-consciously an epic book. So I would say Hyperion is a good shout.
Look, the Berlin Library thinks that this is a three book series. It doesn't include Neverness into the series.
No, because Neverness is number zero.
And the search tags for this is books, English, deep search.
Deep. Right.
It's like you have to really look for it.
You can follow me. Oh, no, you can become my friend on Goodreads, everyone listening.
Yeah.
And Juliana's friend as well. But that's the way that I can see who else has read this book or not read this book or other books
and
that I'm reading.
And what they think of it.
Yeah, and what you think of it. Go over to the SFBRP listener group on Goodreads. There's like a little community there. Very, very sparse. Well, not very much posting going on there. But if you want me to read a book, drop me a line there in the books I'd like to see reviewed. If you've got any thoughts on this, there's a thread there called the SFBRP Must Reads List. So if you've got your opinions on this book or other books or things that should be added to the Must Reads List, throw them in there too.
Yeah.
Yes, you can follow me on Instagram, Mastodon, Blue Sky.
Yeah.
I'm posting very little to any of those things. Oh, Instagram, I post juggling stuff too, but don't expect any science fiction reviews there. That stays on Goodreads and this podcast. That's it. Or email me, luke@juggler.net, if you've got any comments or feedback. And finally, you can support us on patreon.com.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/Luke Burridge. I'm posting juggling stuff all the time there, but we do have quite a few SFBRP listeners who help us support this podcast financially so we can
keep
buy books.
Yeah,
so we can keep Juliana buying her ebooks. We can keep getting me audiobooks. We can keep getting paper books.
Yeah.
Although in some ways I did enjoy reading this paper book.
Yeah.
If I was to read another paper book, I'd want it to be a bit smaller than this.
Yeah, not big and chunky like that.
The under the covers with the torch and reading, that's actually quite
exciting.
Fun. Sitting on the couch and just being, I'm listening to music, like I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, but then I'm not reading on my phone. I'm not reading an ebook on my phone or doing anything. I've just got this book. This is all I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting. And I think I'd like to, some of these other books, I'd like to reread as paper books or not ebooks. Actually, you could just go back and just like a few times a year, get a paper book.
Another country bookshop,
borrow a book.
Yeah.
Like, so maybe I'll do that with the next June book. No, what are the other books that I've got to get to here? These other considerations, yes. Finity's End. I put down here Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy may or may not go on the must read list.
Yeah.
Under the Skin by Michel Faber, which you didn't like.
No.
Arthur C. Clarke, 2001, A Space Odyssey. Again, these books, I'm not really sure if they stand up on their own or if only because the movies are really good.
Yeah.
And then Becky Chambers, A Long Way to a Small Angry Planet, with the question, will this still be relevant more than 10 years later? Because it came out like 10 years ago now.
Yes.
So if we reread it, will it still be a fun, interesting, influential book? Or will we just think, hey, this is just Firefly, but with aliens.
But fun. I'm currently reading Alien Clay.
Yeah, I finished that. Well, I'm waiting for you to finish it before we do the review.
Yes. And now after getting through the first 20%, I think it will be a bit easier for me to read and continue actually finishing it. After that, I might read Becky Chambers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we got it as an ebook anyway.
Yeah, I have it somewhere. Yeah.
And also, the other thing that I'm reading is Terminal World by Alistair Reynolds.
Right.
which is very good. It won't be going on the SFBIP must reads list. It was just a book that I happened to have on my iPhone when I gave up on another book. I was like, oh yeah, it was Brandon Sanderson's latest epic. I was like, I've read four books. Let's go for the big final fifth book in this part of this series. And I started reading it. I was like, oh no, it's really not good.
Oh,
the stuff that I liked about the previous book. Oh no,
all gone.
No, it just wasn't what I, because I went back and I was like, hey, I thought I enjoyed it. Again, 3.5-star rating for that fourth book in this Way of Kings trilogy or Stormlight Archive trilogy. And I went back and started listening to the part of the podcast that we did about that fourth book to understand what did I like about this. And I was like, oh yeah, all of this stuff is missing from these first few. So I was like, it's just it's weird how you get to a point where you're just like, oh, I just don't trust Brandon Sanderson to get me through a 70-hour audiobook with me to enjoy it.
That's even epicer.
Well, the only reason I went through it is because I wanted to read a book while you were reading a book for you to catch up with the book that I'm reading. So I was like, well, I'll read this massive novel for you to help you to get. So there's a bit of a gap. Where
give me some time. I get it.
It'll take me as long to get through this 70-hour audiobook as it will to get for you to get through like the shorter Alistair Reynolds book or whatever we were reading at the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so sorry, Brandon Sanderson, you've fallen out of my I trust you as an author to get me through to the end of this series book, the book or series author.
Yeah.
And I didn't read anybody else's review of it. I just noped out of it.
Yeah, that happens.
So, and that's why, yeah, and because I went nope on that book, I was like, what's like the next book that I have just sitting there? And it was Terminal World, because I downloaded it a few months ago before I went on a work trip as a backup book from the Audible free library.
Yeah.
Or maybe I had it in my library anyway, but I just got it.
Cool.
So, and I'm enjoying it.
Nice.
So we'll next up, maybe Alien Clay, maybe Terminal World, and then I've got some other books as well.
Yes.
To get to too.
Well,
probably CJ Cherry, Finitor's End, which I'm really looking forward to.
Let's see what's going to be next.
Yep, that's it. That's it from me. That's it from Juliana. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.